And we're very pleased to have over the phones a special, very special guest appearing on Making Waves. And that guest will be Catherine Albrecht.
Good morning, Damon.
Good
How are
afternoon,
you?
Catherine. Good. I just want to tell our listening audience that our guest today is Catherine Albrecht, who joined us by telephone from Nashua. And Catherine is the founder and director of Caspian Consumer Privacy and the co-author, along with Liz McIntyre, of a work entitled Spy Chips: How Major Corporations and Government Plan to Track Your Every Move with RFID. Catherine, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today on Portsmouth Community Radio.
It's a pleasure to be on your program, Damon. There's so much going on in the State House right now. It's a good time to get the word out on the airwaves here.
Thank you. And we hope to touch on all of those topics. We have about 15 minutes or so to do that. And in that time, we'd like to inform our listeners that we're taking up the topic of New Hampshire's refusal to participate in the federal Real ID Act, which many say would establish a national identification system that would be a precursor to a police state because it would violate fundamental American values and pose a serious threat to freedom and civil liberties. Now, we should tell our listeners that the New Hampshire House of Representatives in March passed a bill known as House Bill 1582, and this would keep New Hampshire from complying with the federal Real ID Act. This bill is currently scheduled for a committee vote in the New Hampshire Senate 2 days from now, on Monday, April 10th. That's just 2 days away. If the bill passes the committee and is approved later by the full Senate and then signed into law by the governor, it would set a precedent for other states in New England to follow, and it could have a ripple effect throughout the country. Catherine, first off, maybe you could tell our listeners just briefly, what is the federal law, this Real ID Act? What is it about? What does it intend to accomplish? And are all states bound by this law?
Yeah, what happened was the Congress on the federal level last year passed a bill as part of a military appropriations, a spending bill, which, of course, is, as you know, it's political suicide to vote against appropriations bills. And into there, they had slipped a clause about updating or changing our state driver's licenses to essentially put them under federal control. So what that means is, you know, as long as there have been driver's licenses, they've been under the control of the individual states, which is a fundamental part of our system of government, where that falls under the states' rights issues.
Okay.
And states have maintained their own, they've set their own standards for obtaining a driver's license. They maintain their own databases of driver's licenses. They make that information available under certain circumstances to other states and to law enforcement, but for the most part, each state has pretty much been able to manage its own driver's license.
Okay.
Under the Real ID Act, the control of those driver's licenses would be federalized. It would fall under the control of the Department of Homeland Security, who would then have the ability to set driver's license standards, change the way that the driver's licenses are issued or the requirements to obtain a driver's license, potentially adding in biometric requirements or perhaps even an RFID or radio frequency ID chip that can transmit information at a distance. We don't know what those standards ultimately may wind up to be, but this gives the federal government the right to control our state driver's licenses. So that in a nutshell is what this is about.
Okay. How does House Bill 1582, this proposed legislation, which has already passed the House of Representatives, and the bill that I've referred to that's before the New Hampshire State Senate, how does House Bill 1582 affect New Hampshire's participation in the Real ID Act?
Well, here's the problem with the Real ID Act. It's extraordinarily unpopular because what it creates the specter of is if you once this Real ID Act goes into place, there will be a federal database of all of our personal information, including our names, dates of birth, home addresses. There's no provision for any sort of a P.O. box, even if you're a victim of domestic violence or if you're someone who has a reason to be concerned about your home address. Everything will go on there. It will all go into a centralized database. And the concern here is, in the same way that in Great Britain they're having a lot of outcry against a push for a national ID card, that's essentially what this will create. In fact, the only thing that the individual states will be able to decide is what state symbol goes on the front of the card. But other than that, it will be a federally controlled document. The other problem with it is that the cost of this thing, from what we are hearing, is going to be absolutely through the roof. Here in New Hampshire, the estimates are anywhere from $40 million and up. Barry Steinhardt from the ACLU came out and did a forum for the senators just a couple of days ago. We were stunned to hear the numbers that they were talking about. The federal government has put a bribe out to two states. New Hampshire is one of them. The other one is Kentucky. And they've said, if you comply with this, if you get on board, because all the states are balking, if you get on board with this and you start converting over your systems to basically funnel the information to us, we will give you $3 million. And our state government right now is anxious to take that money. Anytime there's money dangling in the balance and they've got a budget to balance and they've got things to pay for, that money looks really good. If we say no to Real ID, if we pass this House Bill 1582, then it means that we will not get those $3 million, which frankly most of us think is kind of a pig in a poke anyway, because the $3 million will obligate us essentially to spend the remaining what could be tens of millions of additional dollars. And all of that is going to be funded by the taxpayers and the drivers of New Hampshire, not by the federal government. That's the only money they've given us. This is an unfunded mandate. If we do not comply with this, what it will essentially do is open the door for all of the other states that have also said, hey, wait a minute, we can't afford this, it's costly, it goes against our American values, it goes against our Constitution, which leaves these sorts of issues up to the state. And I know right now there have been several other states that have wanted to propose or pass similar legislation. Everyone's kind of waiting to see which state will be the first to take the plunge so that the other states will get on board. And actually, in talking to the ACLU, they said even on the federal level, Barry Steinhardt was on the planning committee that was putting all of this together and sort of one of the stakeholders trying to say, hey, this is not a good idea. And he said even the people who are in favor of this are admitting that they don't see how it's technologically feasible to do all of this. They think it's going to create massive hassles at the DMV, enormous lines. In fact, in the one state where they actually tried to test this out, I believe it was the state of Virginia. It was one, or it may have been one of the states in the South, but he was telling us the horror story of how just one state tried to implement just one provision of this to kind of get a head start on Real ID, and they sent out letters to all of the drivers of longest standing, which were the people who were older, who'd been driving for 40, 50 years, and they said, they went through the records, and you have to have a single name on your driver's license has to exactly identically match your name on your birth certificate, and there's a lot of name issues here. Mm-hmm. And they said they sent out thousands of letters to these poor older drivers and said, you're no longer, you know, your driver's license is not in compliance with these new federal regulations. And they said the phones were ringing off the hook, people were calling their lawmakers, it was a disaster, and they had to drop it. And that was just one of dozens of provisions and dozens of things that will have to be changed to implement this. So anyway, from a practical standpoint, they're learning, the states are learning firsthand this is a disaster. It's going to be a bureaucratic nightmare, and they don't want to do it. Now, New Hampshire, of course, being the live free or die state, being the first primary in the country and being a small and feisty state, you know, we've actually stood up, at least the House of Representatives has stood up and said, we don't want to participate in this. We think it's a poorly thought out idea. We think you guys need to go back to the drawing board. And if you want to do this, you're going to have to do it in a different way. But don't put the burden on the states to fund it. Don't put the burden on us to take our driver's licenses, which we require of our citizens to drive in our state, and turn that into some sort of a federal information grab. So if other states follow along, and we have reason to believe that there are dozens of other states that would follow us in this, then we actually could, I believe, take a step and tell Big Brother, get out of these states' issues. And we don't want to be a police state where authorities can say, hey, your papers, please, to get on an airplane, to drive a car, to open a bank account, to get a job, to participate in just the basic activities of American life.
So in a very real sense, New Hampshire could stand to be in a pioneering role here and really could take the lead in terms of setting an example for other states to follow?
In a beautiful way. And I'll tell you, the eyes of the rest of the country are on New Hampshire right now. There is so much excitement and enthusiasm, I think, on the part of people who are concerned that under this administration, in the present climate of fear and uncertainty and doubt that's been created, in this the climate of fear of immigrants and just it's sure. We're living in a crazy time right now, and I think that, in fact, I know, having heard from people from around the country, they are looking to New Hampshire to say, you know, the buck stops here. We may be small, but we have the ability to stand up and say no to this big federal juggernaut that essentially wants to create a police state. And, you know, I've got to tell you, Damon, one of the reasons I find this information so chilling or this whole move so chilling is my research into RFID. I'm actually finishing my doctorate in consumer privacy education at Harvard University in June. And my research has actually been into the field of RFID, radio frequency identification. And probably the most chilling aspect of that technology are the chip implants that can be literally injected into an individual's flesh and used to identify them as they pass within a couple of feet of checkpoints. And when Tommy Thompson, the former Secretary of Health and Human Services, recently retired from his Bush cabinet position and took a job in the private sector, do you know what job he took? He actually took a job on the board of directors of the Verichip Human Implant Company.
That's a fact that's probably not very well known.
Yeah, very few people are aware of that. Now, so he is sitting on the board of directors of Verichip, and he is using his government contacts to promote the idea of putting, I kid you not, of putting human microchip implants into human beings, actually inserting computer chips into their flesh to identify them. And I truly believe if we allow this national ID to go forward, if we allow this real ID to go forward, that this is going to be the thin end of the wedge, or as some say, you know, the nose into the camel's tent. If you let the nose in, the rest of the camel's going to follow. And I honestly believe, based on the information that I've seen of the federal government support of RFID, of the FDA approval of the implant device as a medical device, and Tommy Thompson, who was recently right here in New Hampshire, I had an opportunity to talk with him about this, and he, with a straight face, will tell you he looks forward to the day when all Americans have one of these chip implants embedded in their bodies. And I have to say, you know, if this is the beginning of that, then we need to nip it in the bud, and we need to do it right now.
These are compelling reasons you've mentioned, not only the implantation of computer chips, but also you referenced in your opposition to the Real ID Act, the sort of bureaucratic nightmares that would result, as well as the huge expense, which New Hampshire taxpayers may or may not be aware of, substantial expense in complying with this federal law. But I'm wondering if you could touch on issues relating to identity theft or to the destruction of privacy protections.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Damon, let me also tell your listeners who have Internet access that we have put up a website here in New Hampshire. This is a grassroots movement. We span over a dozen different organizations, from progressive to conservative and everyone in between. This is a real across-the-board coalition. In fact, the ACLU flew out and did something with the Cato Institute. Who would have imagined you'd have the ACLU and the Cato Institute in agreement on anything? But all of that is up on the Internet at granitestateid.com or .org. So Granite State ID. On that website, each of the arguments that we're talking about in this interview, you can find them there. You can also find a place to where it says take action. You can find the home number and the office number and the email address of your state senator who will be deciding this issue within the next week or so. And it's crucial that everyone in New Hampshire who believes in this and who feels strongly about getting us out of this and taking a stand contact their senator. I can't emphasize that enough. The ACLU told it to us. Everyone involved in this on the governmental level has told us that's the only way that we have a hope of the Senate actually passing this bill. So let me get back to your question about identity theft. You know, New Hampshire, we are very conscious of our privacy in this state. And one of the benefits of living in New Hampshire on a driver's license standpoint is that we actually can have our Social Security number purged from the system. We can even have our photograph purged from the system. And this was in part in response to the fact that other states were actually caught selling people's photographs to marketers who could then set up in retail stores facial recognition cameras to ID people as they walked around the store and be able to track their movements out in public. And we, you know, in New Hampshire said, well, that's appalling. And so in the state of New Hampshire, we actually have tremendous amounts of protection over our personal information that goes into those driver's licenses. Well, in other states, that's not the case. In California, practically every year since I've been keeping track, they have had to arrest numerous DMV employees for selling people's real driver's license information to create bogus ID cards and give them to criminals for use in identity theft and all sorts of other crimes. Now, in New Hampshire right now, if someone in California wanted to create a bogus ID, if you had a corrupted government official, they would not be able to access our New Hampshire state driver's license information because that is in our state computers. Under this new plan, those corrupt DMV workers in California and in other states would be able to access anyone's information in the whole country. And in fact, not just the ones in California, but folks in Puerto Rico and American Samoa would even have access to that. So we believe that not only consolidating all of this into a centralized database is a horrible idea, not only from the perspective of identity theft, in that there are known people out there who specialize in obtaining people's valid driver's license information and siphoning it off and creating criminal records and doing all sorts of terrible things with it. We also know that there's a known record in other states of taking our personal information from our driver's licenses, information we're required by law to provide in order to drive, and selling it, openly selling it, to marketers. You know, for $2, $3, $4 a head, they can go in and buy. In fact, in some states, they were doing it, you know, for pennies a person, and selling every bit of information off of your driving information, everything from your photograph in some states down to people's fingerprints. You know, here in New Hampshire, we don't have to give a fingerprint. In other states, people do, and under this plan, that may also happen. In fact, at some point, in a private conversation I was having with some folks from the ACLU, they were saying they believe at some point this will come down to a DNA. It'll say lick here, and that will go right into that database and be available, again, to identity thieves, to marketers, to unscrupulous medical researchers. I mean, the list is just endless, and it's really frightening.
In the time we have remaining, what's the next step? What can New Hampshire residents do if they're concerned about these issues? What can they do? Obviously, checking the website granitestateid.com or granitestateid.org is a first step. But in view of the fact that the first hearing is coming up before the Senate committee just this Monday, only 2 days from now,
what can New Hampshire residents do? Going on. Okay. We have a press conference scheduled for Monday at 10 a.m. in the State House. This hearing will be at 1 o'clock. We encourage people to come and turn out. We have no real ID badges that we would be happy to hand out to people. We do ask that if people come to that hearing, you know, if you can sign on to the blue sheet there and let them know your support of HB 1582. We also encourage you to go on our website just today. You can do it right now. It's Saturday. It's still early in the day. Call up your senator. There in Portsmouth, your senator is Martha Fuller Clark. We
Correct,
have her
right.
home number, which she provides on the state's website, her office number and her email address. We encourage you, get in touch with her. Let her know how you feel. Be polite, be reserved. You don't really know the opinions of these senators until you talk to them. But just let them know that you would appreciate their support of HB 1582 and that you're willing to take a stand here in New Hampshire. Now, one of the arguments that the federal government has used to kind of squeeze us on this is they've said, well, you won't get your $3 million. And the response to that is, well, that's fine, because then we won't be obligated to pay $40 million down the road.
Sure.
The other thing they're holding as sort of the hatchet over our heads is that New Hampshire residents then won't be able to board an airplane, they won't be able to open a bank account. I have heard from Barry Steinhardt of the National ACLU, that's absolute hogwash. He said that, you know, that, and someone else was saying that was the same threat they held over us in New Hampshire, that if we didn't have seatbelt laws, mandatory seatbelt laws, we wouldn't get highway funding. There's no way they're going to do that. We have highway funding. We will be able to board planes. We will be able to open bank accounts. I don't believe that the federal government will hold one state hostage. There's no way. I think, on the contrary, we will be opening the door to preventing the federal government from holding all 50 states hostage and force them to reevaluate this issue and come up with a better solution. Our group, NH Caspian, or New Hampshire Caspian, is a group I founded back in 1999 to work on issues of consumer privacy. People are welcome to join us at our monthly meetings. You can find us online at nhcaspian.com or I believe it's nhcaspian.org, Caspian like the C, C-A-S-P-I-A-N.
Okay.
So I would encourage people, take action on this. We have a big rally coming up on the 22nd, which is a Saturday. That will be from 11 to 1.
And where is that?
On Saturday, April 22nd. We'll have information about that up on Granite State ID as well.
Okay.
And we do have information about that on nhcaspian.org right now.
In the less than 30 seconds we have remaining, do you have any final thoughts or remarks that you'd like to make to our listening audience?
Yeah, I would say that this is the one opportunity, if you are concerned about the direction this country is going, the direction that this administration is taking us, this is the one opportunity that we as the state of New Hampshire can stand up and, I believe, give Big Brother a black eye. So if there was ever a time to act, the eyes of the rest of the country are on us, and we have so much power right now as a tiny state to really get a ball moving, to tell Big Brother we're not interested.
We're not going to play this game. Catherine, again, on behalf of Making Waves and Portsmouth Community Radio, I want to thank you for appearing here. My name is Damon Thomas. You've been listening to Catherine Albrecht on Making Waves at Portsmouth Community Radio.